This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
This is a short poem from my book, Atomic Flower. It's called Winter in the Volcano. An ice age befriends our Earth. We encrust in the last heat of the planet. We carve a skating path across the livable equator and find a way to ski down volcanoes, to forge beside lava. Winter in the volcano, the best time of my life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll go ahead. Hi, I'm Laura.
Laura? Hi, Laura.
Hi. So this is a poem by William Butler Yeats, who has been my favorite poet since I can even remember. And the poem called When You Are Old. When you are old and gray and full of sleep and nodding by the fire, take down this book and slowly read and dream of the soft look your eyes had once and of their shadows deep. How many loved your moments of glad grace and loved your beauty with love false and true. But one man loved the pilgrim soul in you and loved the sorrows of your changing face. And kneeling down beside the glowing bars, murmur a little sadly how love fled and paced upon the mountains overhead and hid his face amid a crowd of stars.
I literally had like chills when you read that. It's very familiar to me too, and I haven't read it for so long. Thank you.
Yeah, to me it's such a beautiful idea that to be truly loved for who you are, for everything about you, for your failings and your successes, and even if it doesn't last, the idea of the permanence of memory in a sense, being in the crowd of stars. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I see a little hand. Little hands are coming up. Real?
Hi. I wanted to read some of Rumi. The breezes at dawn have secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep.
Kaveh.
Paula, I had a different poem in mind when we started this, but after you said read something that's really intimate to you, this is one of the most intimate poems to me, meaning I love it the most. It's for Shunryu Suzuki Roshi. The background is in the mountain seat ceremony for Baker when Suzuki Roshi was going to die in 2 weeks after that. In November of 1971, he installed Richard Baker as his dharma. His cancer advanced to the point where he could march in the processional, only supported by his son. Even so, with each step, his staff banged the floor with the steel of the Zen that informed his gentle exterior. Baker received the mantle with a poem. This piece of incense, which I've had for a long, long time, I offer with no hand to my master, to my friend, Suzuki Shunryu Daiyosho, the founder of these temples. There's no measure of what you have done. Walking with you, in Buddha's gentle rain, our robes are soaked through. but on the lotus leaves, not a drop remains.
We have one here in the Zendo. Come on up, Jeffrey.
Hi, folks. I'd like to read a sonnet by Wordsworth, which is entitled Animal Tranquility and Decay, a Sketch. The little hedgerow birds that peck along the road regard him not. He travels on, and in his face, his step, his gait is one expression. Every limb, his look and bending figure, all bespeak a man who does not move with pain, but moves with thought. He is insensibly subdued to settled quiet. He is one by whom all effort seems forgotten, one to whom long patience has such mild composure given, that patience now doth seem a thing of which he hath no need. He is by nature led to peace so perfect that the young behold with envy what the old man hardly feels.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Paula. I have a poem by William Meredith that's close to home for me, called Accidents of Birth. Spared by a car or airplane crash or cured of malignancy, people look around with new eyes at a newly praiseworthy world, blinking eyes like these. For I've been brought back again from the fine silt, the mud where our atoms lie down for long naps. And I've also been pardoned miraculously for years by the lava of chance which runs down the world's gullies, sitting us back. Here I am brought back, set up, not yet happened away. But it's not this random life only, throwing its sensual astonishments upside down on the bloody membranes behind my eyeballs. Not just me being here again, old kneader, looking for someone to knead, but you, up from the clay yourself, as luck would have it, and inching over the same little segment of earth ball in the same little eon to meet in a room alive in our skins, and the whole galaxy gaping there, and the centuries whining like gnats. You, to teach me to see it with you, and to offer somebody uncomprehending, impudent thanks.
I'm not hearing whatever's being said.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just saying I'm here for the first time, and thank you, and to my godson who invited me.
Sure. Yeah, just come right up where you can be heard. Thank you.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Oh, great. So I wrote this poem the other day. As we all know, there's been so much going on in the world that's been, for me, very difficult, as I'm sure for many of us. And I couldn't write. And I was like, wow, all right. And I had heard of Thich Nhat Hanh dying, which was very sad. So this just came to me. I don't have a title yet, but it's called When Will the Stars Stop Raining Crimson, the Moon Stop Hiding Behind the Clouds, and We Stop Dividing? Drown out the white noise, amp up our frequency of peace. When will enough blood be shed and people be fed instead of finding empty shells on the street. The aroma of bread breaking invite a growling tummy. The horn from a distant ship awakens me to the moment. Gushing water of a nearby pond cleanses worry and regret. I wake up to scratchy kisses and kneading from my sweet kitty, warm sheets, and savor these tender moments with clouds in my coffee. I say a prayer for all humanity and begin my day in hope as the sun rises once again and my toes touch the earth and a promise to be the best I can. The words of Thich Nhat Hanh echo through the land as he takes his final sip of tea and becomes a cloud for all to drink. And I just wanted to say it's really a gift to be here, because when I shared in my family of six, eight were there, that it was a sad day because Thich Nhat Hanh had gone, and they all laughed and looked at me like, who are you talking about? So this is the world I live in. So I'm really grateful to be here. So thank you.
Thank you. Randy?
Yeah, I had a poem come my way via the email. It came via my wife to me, but it's about kind of what I do. It has about making things that are breakable, or things that get broken. And this fellow, James Crew, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Am I coming across sound-wise, or no?
We hear you loud and clear.
I'm loud and clear. Okay, I didn't, my screen just froze. I went, oh my God. Okay. Commentary before, which is kind of interesting, and it says, in our lives, maybe what is broken simply can't or shouldn't be fixed right away. Maybe part of what allows us contact with the source is to feel what we feel, to give ourselves permission to be in grief, in confusion, in brokenness for a while. It's a very American way of doing things, rushing past the pain or damage to put a more attractive face on things, to fill the cracks with gold. So that's his little commentary. And this is a poem by Rosemary Wattola Tromer. And the title is, What's in a Broken Cup?
Improvisation.
Not everything broken need be fixed. Even the loveliest cup, the one that seems perfect, the one that even that cup is only a cup and fashionably made to be broken. The fact it was fragile was always a part of its value. In shattered fragments, the cup is no less treasured, perhaps even more treasured now that its wholeness isn't taken for granted. There are some who would throw the pieces away. There are some who would meet them with glue or even with gold in an effort to repair. But there are some who will cherish what is broken, hold it even more tenderly now, trusting its use, though different, is no less valuable. Trusting a fragment is something more than enough. Trusting in every end is a beginning. And we might source. Oh. Done. Thank you. Well,
Randy makes beautiful pottery, and I was lucky to get a bowl from him. as a speaker. And Randy, I have it hidden so nobody else can use it. And then that's not right. And so at least I'm going to use it. And if I happen to break it, I want to do it with the reverence that the Japanese do with their, you know, the filling it with gold. Anyway, it will seem that way to me. It's just so beautiful. What do you think?
Well, this guy made a comment, which is kind of interesting. He said that the Japanese concept of kintsugi, to repair a broken pottery with gold, has seeped into our culture lately. As Cromer points out here, there can also be a beauty in honoring the brokenness. It is often glossed over that in Japanese and passed down for generations before its repair with gold. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. I don't have that mindset, but it's you know, because it's but yeah, you gotta let a 2-year-old or 3-year-old handle your pottery. I'm not sure what you got.
I definitely don't have a 2-year-old. I have myself.
The pottery thrills.
Yeah.
Some uncertainty. I don't know. But yeah, this is interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Am I looking at time? Do I have to be looking at time? Let's see. Lunch is at 12:30, so we have plenty of time. Thank you. And yet, I haven't even seen Chris B's face on the screen. All right, Chris, I know you're there. Okay. So, someone else?
I'll do a couple.
Okay.
This seed we bear, that shall survive us all. Will it be dandelion puff, nature's commonest intent, or be some hybrid thistle fluff, sterile for all wit can invent? Or shall it be our spirit's seed of wisdom, love, and beauty born to sanctify our dying race and populate a holier place? And the second one is, my address is Earth. You can call me long distance, or whisper in my ear, or speak inside my head and I'll hear, or write me a letter, post it in the dawn, shine it in my window, and I'll know. And it's a couple poems from The Woman Who Bore Me.
I thought so. I'm so glad you said that. I was thinking that probably was it. Tell us her name.
Dorothy Jacobson.
Thank you.
And Her poetry is in a book called My Address is Earth.
Perfect. Sounds like your mother, even though I never met her. So all you have to do is raise your hand or tell poem. Doug.
George got a poem. That's holding on.
This is a Robert Bly poem.
Oh, cool.
I don't have my glasses. There are so many Platos. The morning dove insists there is only one morning. The nail remains faithful to its first board. The hoarse crow cries out to 1,000 planets. The sun goes down through ghettos of clouds. There is one burning mind and so many Platos. The morning star rises over a flutter of wings. To those who make up music and write poems, I say, our task is to become a moist tongue by which subtle ideas slip into the world. Probably we were born too near the potato bin. Like the potato, we have many closed eyes. A touch on the thigh displaces all the heavens. There are more planets than have ever been found. They rise and set again. Some people say a painting is a picture full of the invisible. Robert, some images in this poem are just right. It is probably as good as anyone can do who is still living in the old inn of desire.
I can't see your face. I'm trying to guess who you are. Is that Giroux by any chance? Okay, yes. Got it.
You might need to call on people, Paula.
I see that Bob has.
I'll just call on people. Okay, Nico. Nico, are you hearing? I think she's frozen in time.
She froze. I think Bob has his hands raised. Bob Sneevy.
Bob Sneevy.
Here we go. Okay.
Yes, there you are, Sydney.
All right. Yeah. Well, those who know me know I'm going to recite a poem by Heartmaster Jalaluddin Rumi, and I won't disappoint them. So this is one that's near and dear to me because I've said it many times. This poem saved my life. It's called Quietness. Inside this new life, die. Your way begins on the other side. Become the sky. Take an axe to the prison wall. Escape. Walk out like someone suddenly born into color. Do it now. You're covered in thick cloud. Slide out the side, die, and be quiet. Quietness is the surest sign that you've died. Your old life was a frantic running from silence. The speechless full moon comes out now.
It's good to have another Rumi poem. So, Nico, are you aware? Are you moving around and listening now? Can you read your poem? Yeah. Unmute.
Hi. Is it okay to read something that I wrote? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, in that case, I had something from somebody we know, Angie, here to read. Maybe I'll read that first. Is that okay? I found this yesterday. It reminded me of being up at Jokoji. It's called Stellar's Jays. And it's about the Stellar Jays, who's a bird I didn't really know existed until was a Jokojiite. But this is a short little one from Angie. And it goes like this. Arrogant and smart, dressed up in party clothes, they act like goons in brilliant blues and black cockades. Hustling baby squirrels with fake hawk screams, they soar into the firs to rip off new-laid eggs and newborn wrens. Awfully hard to like, but anyway, I do. They've got pizzazz, and just like everyone I meet, I tell myself, Annabelle, honey, that's me.
That looks perfect for her. Wow. Annabelle.
I do have one here that I wrote that I've read on another occasion at Floating Zendo, but I'll read it here. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm looking at the time again.
Somebody else wants to jump in, please go ahead.
Maybe so. Is someone...
Chris, what? Chris is...
Paula, make Nico read that poem.
I can't make her read it. She will read it. Karen, I do have a short one.
I yield my time to the poets in the room.
Okay. Here we go, Nico.
Okay. This is called The Ballad of Louder. And it goes something like this. I laughed myself to sleep last night, 'cause crying never works. Fingering my battle scars from fending off the jerks. I dreamed I was the queen of light, at one with Mother Earth, without a need to prove a thing, without a place of birth. I dreamed I was some she-wolf fiend, unleashed upon them all, howling at the sun and moon, hear your mistress call. I sang in magic harmonies, a tragic lullaby, a comedy of errors and kites caught in the sky. I was the ghost of future, present, past, rolled all in one. The variable, the sum beyond the sum. I found myself a lightning rod aloft in outer space, stirring up the Milky Way to save the human race. I made myself the temple whore, the source of all divine, the one you speak your secrets to when all is on the line. They tried their worst to take me down, and I cannot be prouder. For that which does not silence me only makes me louder.
I'm so glad you reached out. I looked at my chats yet. Should I? Or?
It looks like Chris B is ready.
Oh. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
And Chris B? There's two Chris B's. Oh, you're Chris B. I thought it was Chris Puccini. Hi, Chris.
Oh, I keep...
Chris B with a beard.
I keep changing it on Zoom, but it keeps going back the way it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'm kind of hoarse. That's why I wasn't going to read. I'll try anyway, if you can put up with it. This is also, can't really tell. Okay. This happened to be a favorite poem of my former teacher who passed away. She liked this one. The guest house. This is being human. I take off my glasses. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your home, empty its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. You may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them all at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Wonderful. Thank you. The reason I keep looking at my watch is the Jikoji people, that are people that are in person, I have been told that the cooks really want you to be there on time. And I can understand that. Do you have time to listen to one more poem, or should we let you bow out? What do you think, Doug?
Let's keep going. Okay. The cook can wait. The cook can wait.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, let's not tell the cook you said that, but yeah.
He knows the cook pretty well.
Anybody else at Jikoji in present? Present that would like to read?
I don't see anyone.
Have I called on everyone here?
Karen already? Had one to read. Karen had one to read.
Oh, Karen, okay, bring it home.
No, I'm sorry. You read one, Paula. I'm all good. Thank you.
I have one. I don't have any of my own, of course, but this one. This is from Little Boat by Jean Valentine, who's one of my very, very, very favorite poets. And I was able to meet her and go out to dinner with faculty there with her. And we drove her to her hotel and I got out and she kissed me on the cheek. She knew it. She was my favorite poet. So she's very sweet, but she's a Catholic, but also does, I hope she's still alive. I don't know. That was a while ago. She also meditates and has references to Mary as well as Buddhist type references. This is called The Door Is Fallen Down. The door is fallen down to the house I used to try and pry open, in and out, painfully, stiff tears. I sit underneath the cottonwoods. Friends, what am I meant to be doing? Nothing. The door is fallen down inside my open belly where all the worlds touch. So that's Little Boat, your book.
What was the author again?
The author? Who is the author again?
Jean, J-E-A-N, Valentine, like Valentine's Day. She has several books. She wrote, I don't know if the poem is actually in this book, but she wrote, it's titled Little Boat, and at Coben's at his actual service funeral that we had at Jikoji, I kept looking at that little boat that was a little rowboat that Jikoji had then, just tied up to a tree right by where I was sitting. We were all sitting down at the lake. So just bringing Coben in here now that we're at Jikoji.
I got a short one. But I wanted to just comment because of I don't really know a lot about poetry, but I've been exposed to it off and on throughout my life, and it just seems like it evokes something other than, I use that word, the big word, didactic, kind of academic kind of way of talking about things, which I really appreciate. I could say it gets a metaphor, or but also it has, it seems like it beckons to be spoken, to be almost sung. And I don't know if I heard somewhere that language in itself might have come from sounds, you know, that we made. So in some ways, I wonder if it's closer to, expression, or I don't know, something closer to our heart, maybe more feeling oriented, right? More possibilities than this didactic type of form that I seem to be inundated with most of my life. So that was one thing I wanted to talk about. Song and meter and sonnet and all the verbs. I don't know, it's just so fascinating to me as the more older I get, and I have a hate-love thing with language, so I'm trying to cultivate love over hate. But anyway, I got a short poem that Tale Thomas exposed to me long ago. It's called To Do or Not to Do. Theory, it takes 20 minutes to do the dishes. In practice, 25. In reality, a lifetime.
Sure. I think that's good. Is anyone else, since we're allowed to
Karen,
go over?
Karen has something. Got to poke at her. Karen. Karen. Well, sing something.
I'll just say what a teeny thing that Thich Nhat Hanh says, said, no mud, no lotus.
Good.
Thank you, Thich Nhat Hanh and Karen.
Yeah, I also wanted to, initially I was going to read this by Thich Nhat Hanh. If it's, we don't have time, I just put it in the chat window. I don't know. Doug, do we have time? It's 10 lines or so, maybe 12 lines.
Yeah, go for it. Yes, please.
Yeah, this is by Thich Nhat Hanh. This body is not me. I'm not limited by this body. I am life without boundaries. I have never been born and I have never died. Look at the ocean and the sky, feel the stars, manifestations from my wondrous true mind. Since before time, I have been free. Birth and death are only doors through which we pass, sacred thresholds on our journey. Birth and death are a game of hide and seek. So laugh at me, hold my hand. Let us say goodbye. Say goodbye to meet again soon. We meet today. We'll meet again tomorrow. We'll meet at the source every moment. We meet each other in all forms of life.
Chris, I see your hand is up. Are you still there? It's
not. He's probably like me and forgot to take it down.
Yeah. Well, I think that was a good place to end, Kaveh. That was lovely. As usual, thank you all of you. This is my favorite kind of talk, when everyone's sharing poetry. And I do believe when you hear it spoken by another person, it's even more powerful. Thank you all. See you again.
So well.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.